Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lila, and tonight is Union Night.
Yeah, and we have Larry Dorman will be joining us on 8:15 tonight. And a lot of interesting.
Well, Larry, let me just say who he is. He's the public affairs coordinator for the AFSC Union in New Britain, Connecticut.
Yeah.
That's where their headquarters is for the state of Connecticut, and that's where we're from.
And, you know, it's Council 4.
Mm-hmm.
Is their authorization.
So he'll be on in a little bit.
Yeah, he'll be talking about different issues that are facing the nation and the state. It's interesting how these things change every 24 seconds. Why some joining a union was so gamble for casino
was workers. No gamble for casino workers.
Yeah, things are changing all over the place. And it says here, after years of ongoing and prolonged contract fighting.
No, of organizing. After years of organizing and a prolonged contract fight, the 1,750 workers at the resort's World Casino in New York City finally may have hit their own jackpot, a living wage. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Under the new agreement with the New York Hotel and Motel Trades Council, the casino and racetrack complex will increase the salaries of 1,400 of its workers to meet more than $60,000 per year by 2016, doubling the take-home pay of many of those workers. In addition to the pay raise, the contract provides free family health care, training programs for career advancement, and retirement security for workers. We've worked to create a situation where the middle class is suddenly within reach of gambling workers, not a bunch of minimum wage jobs where people have to live on the dole. I can't speak clear. Who have to live on the dole to survive, HTC President Peter Ward explained. The casino and racetrack complex has raked in more than $1.3 billion in record profits in the 2 years it has been open. The casino has been labeled widely successful by city and state leaders, pouring $840 million into the state's education fund and other programs. Yet many of the casino workers were earning only slightly more than $10 an hour. All that will change now. By 2016, when the full contract goes into effect, a full-time kitchen worker will earn $57,679 a year with family health care and paid time off. A jubilant Adrian Soto, a security guard who was earning $11 per hour, now earns more than $22 per hour. This is life-changing. I'm practically in tears right now. He says that the raise will allow him to pay his bills on time for the first time in months. Janine Nixon, a customer relations representative, learned that her salary would jump from $22,300 a year to $40,000. I can finally feel relieved, she says, explaining that she has recently been forced to postpone medical care because she couldn't afford it. New York City Central Labor Council President Vincent Alvarez says the new contract will fundamentally change the lives of these workers, he adds. This is an absolute victory and a testament to the labor movement's ability to fight to ensure that all working families have the wages, protections, and tools necessary to grow and fight and thrive in New York City. Well, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
good
glad,
for
I'm
them.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, that was a great move and a great thing to hear.
That's wonderful. I've never heard of such increases.
No, that's
I mean,
phenomenal.
Their wages doubled. I mean, that's
fabulous. That's phenomenal, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know how. I wonder how they did it.
I don't know, but it was a great thing. Well, from the high to the low, I guess we should probably go to this one. Smallest ever Social Security, COLA.
COLA, that's the cost of living.
Still too big for chained CPI backers. Next year, the millions of Social Security recipients will see the smallest cost of living adjustment ever, just 1.5%, about $19 a month. If the politicians and their billionaire friends do not want to pay the same taxes workers do, who are pressing hard for the chained CPI benefits cut had their way, the adjustment would be even smaller than 2014's historic low. Edward F. Cole, executive director of the Alliance for Retirement America, says, "I hope the news about next year's Social Security COLA will cause politicians in Washington to reconsider their support for the chained CPI. How can anyone look at an increase of about 1.5% and think that that's too big? Clearly, these politicians need to spend more time talking to seniors who are struggling. Next year, the increase will be 1.5. Imagine if it were less. Then imagine that small increase were to compounded over time. That is the chained CPI. The chained CPI proposal would reduce cost of living increase adjustments for Social Security and prevent benefits from it, keeping up with inflation.
At age 75, a senior's benefits would only be cut by about $650 a year on average. At age 85, those benefits would be cut by about $1,150 per year, and at age 95, by about $1,600 per year. For more on what the chained CPI would do, go to the Alliance Chained CPI fact sheet. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Earlier this month, 51 Republican members of the House, led by Representative Reed Ribble, a Republican from Wisconsin, signed a letter to Speaker John Boehner supporting COLA cuts, among other unspecified proposed Social Security benefit cuts, as part of the ransom demand to lift the debt ceiling. On the other hand, Tom Harkin, Democrat, Iowa, and Representative Linda Sanchez, Democrat from California, have introduced the Strengthening Social Security Act, Senate 567 and House 3118. The legislation would measure inflation not with the chained CPI, but with a more accurate measure of inflation for seniors, the CPI-E. It also would improve Social Security solvency by lifting the cap on earnings subject to the Social Security tax, so that all of America's workers pay the same rate. AFL-CIO Policy Director and Special Counsel Damon Silvers recently told Salon that the AFL-CIO opposes any benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And I oppose any cuts.
He said the labor movement is going to fight to the death to stop cuts to Social Security and Medicaid. Not unreasonable cuts. Not cuts without increases. Cuts, period.
Not cuts without tax increases.
No. And we're against all of them. We will fight them ferociously, and we will give no cover to any Democrat who supports them. And
good.
Yeah, I think that's good. I was...
Maybe we should play that. It's just probably a few minutes.
Yeah, we got a few more minutes. Okay, sure. So what do you say?
Washington's focus is turning to speculation over a possible grand bargain to replace the sequester. Organized labor, though, making it clear it opposes any idea involving Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare cuts. Let's bring in Damon Silvers. He's the policy director of the AFL-CIO. Mr. Silvers, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. I just want to ask you why going into these negotiations where we know there has to be give on both sides, your group is saying from the beginning
A deal that includes any entitlement cuts is a non-starter. Labor groups will withhold support in 2014 from any Democratic lawmakers who support such a deal. Are you not standing in the way of any possible progress that will avoid the gridlock we've seen in Washington?
No, actually, I think what we're doing is making clear what the only path to progress is. The vast majority of the American people oppose cuts, the benefit cuts, to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Right now, 55% of Americans fear they're going to be economically insecure in retirement. That's up from 33% 25 years ago. And it's about the last thing we should do for our country is cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security benefits.
So nobody's saying that these things, that there's not a good rationale for having these programs in place. Of course they're popular. Of course people want to make sure that our citizens are taken care of. But that's almost not the point, because what you've said is that you simply won't negotiate, and you're holding the threat of withholding your support for any Democrats who would even go forward and compromise at all around these measures for decades in the future.
Right. Now, yeah, we're being really clear. We are not going to give cover to Democrats who think it's a good idea to take away economic security from our most vulnerable citizens. We're extremely clear about that, and we're not embarrassed about it whatsoever. We want a really clear message out there. If you cut Social Security benefits or Medicare benefits to our seniors, to our most vulnerable people in our country, you are going to get no cover from the American labor movement. We're happy to say that all day long, and we think the reality is that it's only by treating our most vulnerable people fairly that there's going to be any chance of progress on public policy issues facing our country
going forward.
That's the reality. Yeah.
Are you as clear on the reality that if you don't cut entitlement benefits, this country may well go bankrupt?
Oh,
well, that's frankly not true. That is a lie put forward by billionaires who don't want to pay higher taxes. Social Security is the best funded aspect of our retirement system today, and Medicare's long-term issues are integrated with the long-term issues of our health care system. Neither program is over-generous. In fact, both programs are under-generous. The only people who believe what you just said are people who are not counting on those programs and who are worried that their very large incomes will be taxed.
Now, but Mr. Silvers, you can go back to any bipartisan budget group, which indicates that the progress we've made on closing the deficit over the next couple of years, on stabilizing our debt level, will start to change from about 2016 going forward, and the main reason for that is entitlement programs. Now, again, we're having an important debate about what kind of promises we can afford to make to people in the future. We already know the retirement age is going to be moved up a little bit, but why not allow for some give so that if we need to, for example, means test Social Security, if we need to do other things to just help to bend that cost curve to make it more palatable to Republicans to come to the table for a deal that won't hurt growth and undermine achieving all of these objectives in the years to come?
Well, we are totally in favor of doing things that need to be done to make Medicare more cost efficient. And we need to start with negotiating for prescription drug prices. Right? There is no question that in the long run, if we keep basically giving away money to the prescription drug companies and healthcare providers, that we're going to have a problem with Medicare. Social Security's financial problems are relatively minor, and the two have been conflated, frankly, by people who want to destroy both for their own selfish reasons.
You know, Mr. Silvers, most people are somewhere in between. Most people know that probably there has to be an income solution, that taxes will have to rise on some parts of the population. They also know that there has to be some entitlement cuts.
Actually, that's not true. Most people strongly oppose cuts to benefits and Social Security and Medicare. It's simply the most rich people don't.
And one-third of the population doesn't pay tax to begin with. I'm talking about the people that understand the figures.
You're talking about people who themselves are more afraid of paying higher taxes than they are afraid of being poor in retirement. You're talking about essentially rich people. If you want to have a democracy of rich people, I suppose your statement is true.
Okay, let's leave it there. Thank you. Damon Silver.
I liked his style.
I'm glad to hear it.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah.
And he wasn't battled down or pushed around by that woman or by that gentleman.
Yeah.
He was very firm in his opinion, and I give him a lot of credit.
One of the biggest problems, the people that are so opposed to this are the elitists, are the ones that...
Well, they don't want to pay. They're so greedy.
If they only paid if they only paid their fair share of that amount,
Social Security tax, like everybody else.
You know, it would be solvent to
forever
for three.
When somebody's making $18 million a year, I think they can pay Social Security tax.
Yeah, I think they can pay 7.5%. Would be
like everybody else.
Yeah. So it's absurd. So it's amazing to me why they can't.
Well, because they bought off with their $18 billion a year, whatever they have.
Yeah, yeah.
Bought off the Congress.
Exactly.
And Democrats and Republicans, sorry to say. A grand bargain. I'm sick of these cute terms.
Let's see. We've got actually Larry Dorman coming up in just a second.
Are you calling him?
Yep, I'm calling him right now.
Okay. Oh, let's see what else is on here. Maryland sanitation workers reach agreements to end strikes. That's good. Griffin's confirmation to the National Labor Board is good for working families. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate confirmed Richard Griffin to serve as the general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumpa applauded the confirmation. Boy, it took a long time to get someone. And the fact that the NLRB finally has all of its appointed positions filled and confirmed by the Senate for the first time in years, allowing the board to fairly and impartially oversee the workplace rights of millions of America's working families. Well, that's good. We have somebody that's pro-labor, finally, and it's a more balanced corporatist.
Hello.
Hello.
Larry, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you doing?
Hanging in, getting ready for Election Day.
Oh, yeah, that's
election
coming up.
Yeah.
Local elections matter.
Oh, they sure do. We have big elections around here, local elections anyway. And
right, November 5th.
And that's important. We just read a wonderful article. What was that article, Leo? It was really, really good. It was one of the best articles I've read on the race for people who are working in the casino industry.
Oh, that was cool.
In New York City.
They're getting like 50% increases in raises, which is amazing.
Did you see that article?
I did not.
Oh, it was fabulous. It made my heart feel great. People who were making $10, a person who was making $10 or $11 as a security guard, he's now making $22 an hour.
Yeah.
Where did you see this?
This is on the AFL-CIO
blog. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to get
take
that
a look
in
at that.
Remarkable increases. Yeah. We were stunned to see that. But, nevertheless, it's great.
That's one of the best raises I've read about. And
I'll say.
A cook. Somebody who was probably a chef or something in one of the restaurants there, their salary was doubled also to almost $60,000 a year, plus he got free health care.
Yeah, it was remarkable.
And I'm sure these people were working many hours and not getting
their...
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah, I just thought it was such a great thing to read. And the other thing that I felt good about was the appointment of Griffiths to the National Labor Relations Board. Now all the seats are filled?
Seats are filled. There's, a lot of work to be done. This is one of the agencies that's really been consistently hammered and eroded by the Republicans since Obama took office. So there's quite a backlog of cases. But you're right, that's good news, and it's just time to move forward with protecting workers' rights, and that's something that hasn't happened.
No, and since he's pro-labor, I'm pretty happy about that.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, the NLRB is there to uphold the labor laws of our country, not to subvert them or ignore them. That's too often been happening in the country.
Yes, it hasn't been a good balance, and there have been corporatists on that board. And,
oh, yeah.
And they've eroded the rights of workers, and that's just not right.
No, and that's we've got to move forward. As I say, though, the my understanding, there's quite an extraordinary backlog of cases. And again, you know, the Republican right has been preventing people from being seated. They've filibustered nominations. They've not given the agency the tools to adjudicate cases and render decisions. So it's really been. It's been some rough sledding for an agency that's supposed to be there to help protect the rights of workers.
Now, as far as our politics here in Connecticut, are there any particular races that you're looking at and hopeful about here in Connecticut?
Quite a few, actually. We are looking, of course, in New Haven, where we endorsed State Senator Tony Harp for mayor. We are... heavily involved in Norwalk, where we have a slate of candidates we've gotten behind, including the former police chief, who's running for mayor of Norwalk. And West Haven is an interesting case, too, where we've endorsed the mayor and an AFSCME member, a police officer for city council. And one of the things this Democratic candidate would do if he's elected, he's going to support a what's called the taxpayer empowerment agenda. And this is a proposal that was raised by a West Haven councilman in response to the Board of Education allowing Sodexo to take over school food service. So it would put in place strict and rigorous accountability standards if mm-hmm. West Haven is going to try to outsource services. So
now they did that in New Haven, didn't they?
Yes, New Haven, Aramark, several years ago, up until 2009 or so, 2010, Aramark managed food services and our custodians. Then they were booted out of New Haven, but they continued to use private contractors with overseeing employees, and then they privatized about the city under DeStefano privatized about a third of our custodial workforce.
Wow!
So
I'm worried about
we're seeing these fights all over the place, as you know.
Pardon me?
Yes, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I didn't hear what you said.
Leo was about to say something.
I've been very worried about you because they've been keeping you working night and day. You know, you're working on the elections, you're working on everything. And I'm saying, my God, Larry is going to be...
He is the AFSCME union.
He is the AFSCME union.
No, we have thank you for saying that, but we have quite a crew of people. And, you know, we're trying to bargain good contracts. And we I just came from Bolton up in eastern Connecticut yesterday where we were actually able to organize part-time paraprofessionals and merge them into the full-time unit with the same benefits.
Good.
Rate. So, you know, little, you know, victories, examples of justice occasionally prevailing. But, you know, the elections are important because these local elections, because that's where you see the privatization and outsourcing going on. And we're going to have a big rally in Bristol next week, next Wednesday night. Another outsourcing fight. They want to get rid of our food service workers.
Really?
In the schools. So this stuff is just, as you guys well know, it's just happening everywhere. It's the outsourcing of America.
Well,
we're pretty upset about it. I mentioned to you, I don't know if I should mention it to you, the Obamacare issue. I mean, it seems like that's a problem for unions as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I know we were emailing a little bit about that. I mean, clearly, you know, it is not, by no stretch of the imagination, is this a perfect law. We're going to have to make changes. One of the issues is this so-called Cadillac tax on plans that have good benefits, and we're trying to deal with that at the federal level. And we'll see.
I would think our goal is to have everybody have a Cadillac plan.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, and we've had this discussion. It's we need a Medicare model.
Yep.
I understand we're not going to get one, so for now at least. So the issue is how do we fix what's there? And then there are flaws, no doubt about it. And but something must scare the right wing because they were willing to shut down government, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks.
I had a question about the Obamacare plan, something that I
yeah.
heard today, and I wondered if you knew if it's correct. Did I hear correctly that if a family of four earns $96,000 or less, then they would qualify for some tax credits? Is that true?
I don't know what the threshold number is. There are subsidies. I don't know if it would apply to people, you know, at that salary level. So I can't say. The issue we're dealing with in bargaining circumstances, quite frankly, is, for example, school boards want to hire paraprofessionals, put them, you know, slot them in at a certain number of hours, and then have them apply for Obamacare. That's the kind of stuff. You know, that's the kind of stuff we're seeing. So, you know, Connecticut's been on. I'm sorry?
That's one of the serious issues. People cutting hours, you know, instead of 40-hour a week, people are suddenly getting 30-hour weeks, you know, to avoid the they're paying.
Right.
Or
reducing benefits and pushing people over to Obamacare. But again, that's I think it's going to be an interesting time because we have all of these different options out there, and we also have the exchanges that are going on, these healthcare exchanges, and you know, I think eventually that's where folks
are. What's the story with that? We have that here in Connecticut.
I saw something.
Yeah, Connecticut's always been ahead of the curve, actually, in having these purchasing cooperatives, and you know, we of course have been pursuing expanding the state employee plan. We successfully got lobbied to allow municipalities into that, and you know, again, I think that. In the end, what's going to work better is having really cost-effective, cost-efficient plans for everybody that have wellness components built into them. And, you know, that's the state employee model, and it's working well. We haven't seen significant premium increases over the last few years.
Really? That's good. Now, that's
a
plan that all state employees have, you said?
Right, and because there is a real aggressive labor management oversight of the insurance company, there's this health enhancement program where if you have five chronic diseases, you've got to get to make sure you're getting your medications. You know, it's an incentive program to make sure you're dealing with things like diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So, you know, the whole emphasis is on prevention. And I think,
what happens to a plan like that with Obamacare?
Under Obamacare?
Yeah, how is that?
Well, interestingly enough, there's been a lot of, you know, there have been these rumors flying around that Obamacare would negatively impact Connecticut State Employees Plan. And, you know, quite frankly, it isn't going to. Because we've got built in things like the health enhancement program. We negotiate health and pensions and coalition, so those benefits are locked in until 2022. And, you know, again, there was roughly a 0% premium increase at the same time that the state's been able to reduce its post-employment benefit liabilities. So, I don't see that Obamacare, Cadillac tax, or other issues affecting state employees. Where we're seeing it again is on the municipal side.
That's good. That's a very good thing.
I know with I had heard that
we need universal health care, though. I mean, we need what France has. We need what England has. We need what Canada has.
It seems to be an awful uphill fight in this country, though, to get it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, huh?
No, I just don't understand why people think it's not a good thing. I mean,
you know
really, if you're making $18 million a year, can it be okay for somebody who's making $30,000 a year to have health care?
Yeah, really.
I don't understand why they're so greedy. I really don't.
You know that whole thing with even in Europe right now and worldwide, wherever they have universal health care, they're having difficulties right now trying to. Everybody is trying to adjust to these health care prices, they're all having problems.
Maybe they're suffering the same problem we are in that wealthy people don't want to pay their fair share.
That's a major part.
And I think that's probably a worldwide issue.
I think you're right on that. You take a guy like Warren Buffett who's paying less taxes than his secretary. I think you got a problem there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and at least to his credit, he admits that.
It's just a problem.
But there must be many more people out there who make almost as much money as he does, who aren't willing to pay more.
And you have to wonder who they are targeting for the $50,000 cars, on these advertisements. $50,000. It's definitely not the guy who's making $30,000 or $40,000 or even $100,000. Can afford a guy a $50,000 luxury car, but you see those advertisements every day.
And
it's just targeting people that I think it speaks to the wage and wealth gap, and it speaks to why it's such good news that the workers you're talking about got those significant rates.
When they're cutting food stamps now. We're looking at an issue right now. On November 1st, they'll be cutting the amount of food stamps by, I believe, 10 or 15%.
That was part of the sequester.
This is a major issue that's going to affect 50 million people and their families.
I put out these news clips, and I had this contrast the other day. It was kind of inadvertent, but then I realized that there was an article where locally down in New London where Chris Murphy was meeting with seniors, and a woman was talking about her struggles. She's on Social Security. She's in her late 70s. She gets about $1,200 a month, and she's, can't keep her head above water with medication and food and all that. And then down below it, it was an article about the AFL-CIO starting to get aggressive with any Democrats or any members of Congress, period, who want to cut Social Security. We're still in a bad and dangerous place in this country when we cut food stamps and we debate cutting Social Security, but we allow corporate welfare to go unchecked. We lower taxes for rich people. We let hedge fund managers off the hook. We don't prosecute the guys who caused the meltdown. This is all disturbing stuff.
I think we're looking also at some major riots coming up. If you look on the internet and look at a couple of major issues, is that November 1st, that cut goes into effect. And in essence, over 76 million people will be affected by, I read today, 76 million meals, will be affected, right, will be lost, under what the cuts have been as of November 1st. It's going to cut like 15% of the actual, of what's out there.
It was a federal subsidy for food stamps, and they just, in the sequester, the Republicans just pulled it back.
But they'll subsidize
agribusinesses, poisoning of America.
But as far as the food stamp benefit, this is obscene stuff,
and that's why we're still in a very, as I say, I just think we're in a very bad place in this country.
Yeah, it's a precarious position Yeah.
Right. We'll slash the safety net to the point of complete disintegration, but
yeah.
We don't do anything to hold the corporations accountable
I think, but
tax rates fair.
There's going to be some serious repercussions come the 1st of November is what everybody's looking at right now.
Yeah.
Have you seen that out there, Larry?
Seen repercussions or...
Or the talk of some repercussions.
Well, I think, you know, it's... No, I mean people are concerned. And certainly I see a lot of that. Leo, you know, is on Facebook. He sees it and hears it and helps get people educated about it. So there's a lot, you know, there are going to be actions going on around Hartford, I imagine. Part of the problem, though, I think, quite frankly, is that everybody is so kind of diffused, you know, spread out. So the unions are doing... You know, unions are fighting for their life. You know, the advocates for the poor and for, you know, the hungry are, you know, caught up in their fights. And I think that speaks to the success the corporatists have had in sort of fragmenting people.
I agree with you exactly. But what I see is if actually on November 1st you start seeing these people, their food stamps cut by 10 or 15%, okay,
mm-hmm.
Going into the month of November, and then you start seeing all these other sequester cuts, okay, that are going to be tremendous.
And I'm not sure what they are either.
They're talking right now. There's a tremendous amount of activity on the Internet regarding the riots that may be happening. Food riots.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me because one of our large state employee locals. We're down in East Haven on Monday at the Connecticut Food Bank. They donated $1,500 to the food bank, and not the food bank people do amazing work. It's called ConnecticutFoodBank.org. But you know what they're telling me is just extraordinarily painful and shocking in a state of this wealth. How many people have what's called food insecurity? Their salaries cannot, you know, subsidize a decent meal. This is scary stuff. And you know, the people who are going to food banks, it isn't just, you know, the poor. I mean, these, you know, people who've been laid off from middle class.
Normal middle class people that own homes.
Who, you know, in a different day and age, like when our parents were around, would be ashamed to go ask for food. So, you know, what happened to Occupy? I mean, we kind of need that to...
They got infiltrated
They got blown out of the water.
And got people were arrested and taken away and... That kind of broke up that movement, I think. I thought it was a great movement. They represented a lot of things that I really cared about. But I think there were also people who took advantage of them and who infiltrated
and destroyed
that movement.
And Bloomberg, who completely destroyed it by, evicting everybody from the Zuccotti Park.
That was kind of the beginning of the end.
It was a real problem,
And, which was too bad.
And I knew people up here that were going down there every weekend to support them, so on. And it amazed me. It was a great, great movement there, but it was destroyed. But
it doesn't mean that something like that won't happen again. They certainly can have flash mobs and dancing. People get together suddenly
but
to
now,
do that.
You have so much infiltration now. You have so much. You have so many informants and infiltrators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get on social media, at Facebook or Twitter or whatnot, and before you know they start a movement, and then. You got 100,000 cops down there, military people infiltrating it with tanks and whatnot. It's just kind of like
The corporatists pay people to go down
exactly what happened in the Occupy Wall Street movement.
They pay provocateurs to go down because
they
because
they
because
get, Yes.
Because they have the money, they can do that.
They actually gave millions of dollars to the New York City Police Department. Okay.
There was a lot of private.
To fight against these people, the advocates who are against Wall Street. So it's like when you see this kind of infiltration, you see this kind of activity, you realize, God, man, Larry, we don't have much of a shot. And now you see free speech being destroyed everywhere. I don't know. I mean, it's not a great thing. I mean, the unions are the only people in the entire world right now that have any kind of unity, you know, and voice to try to fight against this stuff. But whether
it's
or not
an, it's
they
an
can,
uphill,
I don't know.
It's
you know?
Such an uphill battle, but, you know, there are some victories which make you feel pretty good.
Yeah.
There are, and I think you guys are on target when you talk about, you know, it's almost like I think it would be, this is a weird way to describe it, it might just be sort of cleansing for people to start taking to the streets and expressing their anger. I really do think there might be a cleansing quality. I'm certainly not advocating that, but people are getting pushed to the brink. And,
yes, a lot of people simply have nothing to lose anymore.
No.
They've lost
right.
it all.
They're losing it all.
I think about people who in the ordinary people like myself who maybe lived close to the water, who had a house, their house got washed away. They had insurance. They have to fight the insurance company for every cent to fix that house, and some of them can't even get the money now. And then they
right.
find out they're never even going to be able to afford to live there, even if they fix it, because of the flood insurance.
And they'll never be able to sell it because nobody will be able to afford to buy it because the insurance will cost more than the house, you know? It's
right,
like,
right.
Crazy
there's some awful
yeah.
problems that people
yeah,
have.
That's crazy.
And it doesn't, you know, I can't imagine how discouraged some of those people must really
be.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I can understand, and I know you can, Larry, because, boy, you're out there all the time.
You must hear a lot of stories.
You must hear a lot of stories. And
I do, Adam, but, you know, we're all waiting kind of for the... Pretty soon there's got to be some ignition to this thing, you know.
There has to
because
be. Because
it can't,
be.
It can't keep
the... So
many
stories coming out, you know, that the American middle class will never revive. We've been in the longest recession now in the last, since God knows when. And history,
well, parallel to the longest war.
Yeah, parallel
yes.
to the war.
Yes. No coincidence there.
No.
Well, hey, I have to cut myself off. I enjoy this, though. I think we've got that other issue taken care of, Leo. So I'll email you about that.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, for being with us.
And we look forward
you.
To talking with you next month.
Oh, did you say
good.
The other issue was taken care of? Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, I think we're going to get it solved. So I'll email you with an update, but. Let's keep fighting. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
We appreciate what you're doing, Larry. You're working hard.
Good.
Keep up the good fight.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night. All right, take care.
Night.
Bye now.
That was Larry Dolman from the AFSCME Union, Council4.org.
In New Britain, Connecticut,
yeah.
He's the public affairs coordinator.
Yeah.
Even though he thinks he's not the whole union, God, he works all the time.
He's
always
right.
all over the state, and then he has
yeah.
to keep up with federal
that's
things. He's got everything right at his fingertips. That the article on the casino, though, that would make him feel
that was,
so
that
good.
Was good.
That was
yeah.
the best
that was,
article
that was
I've
good.
Read. It made
see
me
that,
feel
see that, that much. Incredible.
And those people now can have peace of mind. They
yeah.
can go to work knowing they're making a living wage.
Yeah.
They have
it's wonderful.
Health care.
Yeah.
And I think that was in New York, wasn't it?
Let me go back to it. Might have been. Where is it?
No. New York Hotel
New York,
and Motel
yeah,
Trade Council,
yeah.
who is a Resorts
yeah.
World Casino in New York City.
They got a tremendous raise and a tremendous bargaining.
That's just fabulous.
Yeah, it's great. It's phenomenal. And I hope that continues for everybody.
Yeah, I would like to see that move to other areas where people work.
Yeah, me too.
Healthcare workers, be nice if they got more.
Oh, wouldn't it be great? Yeah.
I think about the classroom aides that we have in schools.
Oh, yeah.
They're not paid very much. I'd like to see their wages double.
Yeah, they should. You know, I mean, there's so many things there.
You know.
So important for so many people. But, you know, but unions are still thriving. They're still working. And, you know, we hope that they succeed. You know, we want them all to
Well, I'd like to see people get a living wage and have health care.
Of course.
And when you retire, that when you've contributed to Social Security, you should be able to get it. You paid for it.
Yeah.
Like anybody's giving you anything.
No. And Wall Street people trying to steal it from you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they want to privatize it. They want the money.
Sure they do.
So they can steal it.
That's really something about doctors. Oh, boy.
So we're trying to get into...
I'm trying to get onto my thing. For some reason, it's not connecting, but what?
Buffering.
I don't know why.
Maybe a lot of people Leo keeps a lot of his articles on Facebook.
Yeah, I try to post all my stuff on all the stuff new that I have on Facebook so that... You know, I can have once, not only can my friends see it, but also that I can go back to my timeline and look at the stuff. But for some reason, I don't know why.
Well, just go to another site then.
Okay.
You already had it open.
Well, I did, but it wouldn't come up. This was something that, sometimes I get statements from people that really touch my soul. And Robin Williams said, I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people that make you feel all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that interesting?
That was by Robin Williams.
Yeah. I really like that statement because this guy was a comedian and he had some very serious heartfelt issues. And I felt that way, and man, I felt that way. I think
we all have.
I think we all have, you know. It's really quite frightening when you get right down to it.
You don't need the watch anymore. You already have it.
No, it's not true. The thing blocks me out the minute I go to something. And it's really weird. But anyway, that was a good statement, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That was a beautiful statement, really. And I agree with that. Also, I'm going to go to...
We read a lot about Fukushima last night.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very interesting thing. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. That's President Obama in August 2009. In October 2013, 1,492,000,000 insurance cancellations is counting.
Right. 1,492,000 insurance cancellations.
I thought
that's
what I said.
No. Right. And the explanation for that is that it was a corporate decision, not his, to cancel those.
Yeah, exactly. Cambodia established gun control in 1956. From 1975 to
1977.
1 million educated people.
Unable
to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. And that is in the Cambodian genocide,
mm-hmm.
if you remember that.
do remember that. It was horrible.
So what they did is, the minute they take away your weapons, folks, they kill you. All right? That's exactly what Obama is trying to do to you now. Why would anyone vote for the brick and all the others like him? Not Democrats and seats. We knew some people would lose their health insurance.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to tell you
in
now.
2010, everybody knew, those bastards that approved this bill, knew that everyone would lose their health insurance.
No, some people would lose.
No, they knew. Speaking with the press on Tuesday, House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer, conceded that Democrats and President Obama should have been more precise when making the initial promise that if Americans like their current health insurance coverage, they will be able to keep it under the Affordable Health Care Act. But controversy has erupted as hundreds of thousands of Americans have reportedly received cancellation notices from their insurers since Obamacare went into effect earlier this month. This seemingly runs contrary to a promise the president made in 2009 when he declared that if you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period. And we knew that there would be some policies that would not qualify and therefore people would require to get more extensive coverage, Hoyer said in response to a question from National Review. Hoyer told reporter that the Democratic promises were not misleading per se and that I don't think the message was wrong. I think the message was accurate and it was not precise enough. He added that it should have been coveted with assuming you have a policy that in fact does not ask for the bill.
What? You're not making any sense.
Assuming you have a policy that in fact does do what the bill is designated to do. Okay.
The Maryland Democrat also reportedly explained.
Oh, thank you for correcting
that
me.
That those who've lost their insurance coverage are mostly in the individual market, which is a small segment of the insurance market.
5%, which is 14 million people.
Requiring insurers to follow the Obamacare regulations is essentially said.
Yeah. Well, it's 5%. Supposedly
because
5% have their own policies. Well, that 5% equals out to 14 million people
mm-hmm.
who are getting screwed, glued, and tattooed on this thing. And boy, I'll tell you.
Their insurance is going to cost more.
Oh, tremendous.
Because there are certain requirements that the insurance has to have. It has to have a preventative piece, and a lot of people didn't have that in their policy.
Yeah. I'm a strong Second Amendment advocate, and, you know, and this one, this thing's like, every genocide in history has preceded by civilian disarmament. Governments murdered 170 million unarmed, innocent civilians in the 20th century. This century will be in the billions if the UN is able to disarm the world as they plan.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, keep your guns. Keep your guns.
Well, they aren't going to do them any good if they can't get ammunition.
They get ammunition. 7 natural alternatives better than drugs or health. So this is interesting. We try to bring some good news to you once in a while. All right. Well, okay. Natural medicine is an amazing field, full of inspiring stories and ever-accumulating body of scientific research to support its increasing popular view. In fact, at greenmed.info.com, we specialize in dredging up national media, whatever. But I wanted to tell you, colored light versus benzoyl peroxide for acne.
A combination of blue and red light iridation therapy was found superior to 5% benzoyl peroxide in treating acne vulgaris without side effects. Another study found blue light iridation therapy alone as effective as 5% benzoyl peroxide in the treatment of acne, but with fewer side effects.
Dietary changes versus drug treatment for hypertension.
A high-fiber, low-sodium, low-fat diet is superior to the beta-blocker drug metoprolol in hypertensive type 2 diabetic subjects.
Acupuncture and moxie
Acupuncture and moxibustion therapy was found to be superior in treating sudden deafness as compared with the routine drug-based therapy.
Acupuncture versus drug treatment for treating migraines.
Acupuncture treatment exhibited greater effectiveness than drug therapy with fulnarizine in the first months of therapy for migraine and with superior tolerability.
Actually, my medical doctor is having acupuncture for an airway. Dietary,
for what?
Yeah.
For what?
Some kind of liver ailment or something. Dietary changes versus high-dose steroid for Crohn's disease.
No, Crohn's disease.
The elemental diet is as effective as high-dose steroid treatment in improving Crohn's disease in children. While superior in supporting the growth of the children, two additional studies found similar drugs in adults.
Similar results in adults with mild to moderately active Crohn's disease.
Correct.
Well, you say it correctly. Aromatherapy massage versus Tylenol for menstrual pain. Aromatherapy massage on the abdomen was found superior to Tylenol for alleviating menstrual pain in high school girls. Hypnosis versus Valium for anxiety. Hypnosis during embryo transfer is as effective as diazepam in terms of pregnancy ratio and anxiolytic effects, but with fewer side effects. Yoga technique versus antidepressant drug for depression. Sudarshan Kriya Yoga, a rhythmic breathing technique, was found superior to the drug Empiricum in the treatment of depression. Yogic intervention versus drug treatment for irritable bowel syndrome.
Wow.
Yogic intervention consisting of poses and breathing exercises was found superior to conventional treatment in diarrhea prominent irritable bowel syndrome.
And foot reflexology versus drug treatment for insomnia. Foot reflexology, wooden needle technique, was found superior to the drug alprazolam in the treatment of insomnia.
Watchful waiting versus drug treatment for childhood ear infection. Watchful waiting compares favorably to immediate antibiotic treatment for some children with non-severe acute otitis media.
Wow. So there you go, folks. Go whatever.
Page 2.
Better treatment. So we got it. This sample reflects only a minor subset of data within the therapeutic action.
Maybe. No, that's there. That was in there.
Okay.
That's the same thing that we have.
Huh.
Oh, it's just written in a different way. That's all.
Oh, okay. So forget about it. Well, anyway, just to let you know that there are natural things.
And yoga seems to have a lot of
tremendous amount of
and acupuncture.
Yeah, so, you know, let's see, what else we got here?
We only have 2 minutes.
There's one other thing. Why don't we talk about this? Natural cure is not medicine. It says some farmers have begun suing Monsanto over genetic pollution of okay. It's on. Farmers begin suing Monsanto over genetic pollution of wheat crops. The next wave of farmer backlash against Monsanto has been unleashed by Ernest Barnes, a wheat farmer in Morton County, Kansas. He filed suit this week in U.S. District Court in Wichita, Kansas, alleging that Monsanto genetic pollution has financially damaged himself and other farmers. Barnes' case appears to be well supported by the fact last week the USDA announced a shock discovery. A genetically engineered wheat strain from Monsanto open field experiments had escaped and spread into commercial wheat farms almost immediately, and Japan and South Korea canceled wheat purchase contracts in the United States, and most cancellations are expected to follow. The more countries reject U.S. wheat due to GMO contamination, the lower wheat prices will plunge, and the more economic damage will be felt by U.S. farmers. Monsanto now
is now a confirmed genetic polluter.
Yeah. GMO wheat has never been commercially grown in the United States, at least not on purpose. Experimental fields were approved by the USDA and planted across 16 U.S. states. Until now, it has not known that the GE wheat experiments escaped the designated field plots and began to spread as a form of public self-replicating genetic pollution. In the record, National News openly warned about this possibility in 2012.
That's why they planted it like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And humanity has reached a tipping point of developing technology so profound that it can destroy the human race. Yet this rise of science has in no way been matched by the rise in consciousness or ethics. Today, science operates with total disregard for the future of life on Earth and it scoffs at the idea of balancing scientific progress with caution, ethics, or reasonable safeguards. Unbridled experiments like GMOs have unleashed self-replicating genetic pollution that now threatens the integrity of the food crops around the world, potentially threatening the global food supply.
Okay, so that's kind of a scary thought. And now we're right at the end of our show. It's 9:01, and I want to send a thank you for listening to us. And stay tuned tomorrow night if you wish to listen to Leo. If not,
of course you wish to listen to Leo. Okay.
come back on Tuesday.
Yeah. And
have a good night, and thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Larry.
Good night.